Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast is your one-stop shop for fantasy football news and advice. Can't decide on who to draft on the first round? Going gaga on how to line up your team? Got you covered. Traditional leagues, dynasty leagues, PPR leagues, IDP leagues, even daily fantasy football leagues. Join us as we break down all the questions of fantasy football. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast and Network. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff, and with me is Mark Souza, my mortal enemy. We've got some things to talk about in the world of fantasy football. We got some off-season maneuvering that might change up your fantasy drafts and your mock drafts and your projections for next season with some certain aspects of the franchise tag and some possible trades in that circumstances. And we also can talk about some early rankings, and we'll get on that as well. But I think first, one of the big topics is we already talked about Antonio Brown. It seems like it's a foregone conclusion he will be traded because of what was said about him and Art Rooney today. But also Odell Beckham Jr. is back in the, well, the conversation about being traded. And we talked about last week, we talked about Antonio Brown and what his possible spots are, what's best for your fantasy team. But I think we need to talk about what's best for the fantasy team for Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you go first. Who do you think is the best possible place for Odell Beckham Jr. to be the best for their fantasy team?
Well, I do think that him leaving New York is probably best for his fantasy value if they remain having Eli Manning as a quarterback.
Which they probably will.
To be honest, the Giants have had one of the worst offenses in the NFL over the last couple years. In fact, I think in 2018, they didn't even have a game where they scored over 30 points in one football game. They don't even really score over 20 points very often. That is a team that doesn't put a lot of points up. So when you have a receiver, especially like a star wide receiver, especially a fantasy wide receiver that is drafted in the first 5-6 wide receivers selected, you want them on a good offense. It really, really hurts you. It hurts their value when you know that he's on a team where he's never going to score more than, you know, two touchdowns ever. Maybe he gets a touchdown, but regardless, I think most people would agree that Odell Beckham's numbers have been inhibited the last couple of years because of the team he's played on. So first and foremost, before we say which teams would be the best destination for him, we just have to say the Giants might have been the worst destination for him. So I think anything at this point might be an improvement. We know in 2017 that he was injured. We know that he only had 25 receptions in that year. But this last year, he had 77 catches for 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. That is not what you want from a number one receiver, your first wide receiver taken. That's not what you want in a first or second round pick in fantasy football.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, like, with obviously Eli Manning is not the guy to be throwing the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. I think we've all settled that one. That's a foregone conclusion. But the fact of the matter is, there's just, I think any spot besides, they just need a quarterback. He just needs a quarterback that can throw him the ball in that situation. Where the along the terms of just besides Eli Manning, like there's obviously the 49ers are always in discussion with wide receivers. Not really sure why they're always the topic, but I mean whatever. But like I think Jimmy Garoppolo would be the much better substitute for a quarterback to throw in the ball, but also just someone that could throw the ball deep to him, just someone that get him the ball all more often than not, unlike Eli Manning, who sometimes just can't even reach the guy. So, honestly, you're right. Anywhere besides New York is a spot for him that you can definitely take him earlier than you would with Eli Manning.
From 2014 to 2016, in the 3 years to start his career, Odell Beckham Jr. averaged 96 receptions for about 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns. That's elite production.
Last year, Eli Manning.
Yes. Last year, so 2017, he got injured, so that's a wash year. 2018, 77 receptions. So he's down about 20 receptions, 1,052 yards. So he's down about 350 yards and six touchdowns, down about six touchdowns. I don't see that improving unless the quarterback changes in New York or he goes to a different team. You talked about the 49ers. Yes, the 49ers have been a team that have been interested in him before. Assuming Jimmy Garoppolo is back healthy next year, there is a lot of intrigue there. Obviously, you might be, have to be a little hesitant to see how it works out, see how he recovers from his knee injury coming back. But there definitely is a lot more intrigue in a Kyle Shanahan offense for sure. Also, remember, the Patriots were really close to getting Odell Beckham last year because they apparently offered a lot to the Giants at the trade deadline. They did not ultimately get him, but I wonder if the Patriots are a team that goes after Odell because we know, A, Josh Gordon hasn't really worked out for them, and Rob Gronkowski might retire. Yes. So if Gronkowski retires, that opens up the offense. The offense will need, I think, I know that Gronk didn't have the best year this year, but he's still Gronk. He's still a decoy, even if he's not a major threat. They might need to change their offense a little bit or at least add another weapon because they really only have Edelman at receiver and a couple other journeymen like Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett.
Well, Chris Hogan is a free agent.
Right. Chris Hogan is a free agent in his own right. So maybe the Patriots are a team that goes after Odell, you know, like I know it's
well,
unlikely
isn't it also
to do it,
possible
they
tried
take before? Mm-hmm. So,
but isn't it also possible they would just take a wide receiver in the first round?
Yeah, but if you could trade Odell Beckham for your first round pick and you're the Patriots, I'm doing that.
I mean that is the 32nd pick in the draft, so it's basically a
not
second.
Not only that, but wide receivers are probably have the worst rate of success drafting in the NFL. When you draft a wide receiver in the first round, they usually hit under half the time. It's the worst position that you can draft for consistency. A lot of times, how many receivers, even the good ones, how many times does it take a wide receiver years and years and years to develop before they're good? They hardly ever come in right away and do well. Odell Beckham's actually one of the few that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, they take years and years and years to develop. Looking back, I'm trying to think over the last few years what receivers were taken in the first round and which ones really did well. I can't think of too many. Can you?
I'm trying to, honestly, and nothing's really
standing out.
Last year, Courtland
Sutton was in the first round. Christian Kirk was in the first round. Decent players. Who else?
Gosh. No wide receiver of note.
They're not really that. They don't usually come out that strong.
I've only remembered, like, bust at wide receivers, to be honest with you. But that kid from Ole Miss is mainly the one I was talking about, like, that the Patriots might consider trying to pick up if they can't get a Odell Beckham Jr.
Right, but you never know who's going to be available. You're talking about the huge one, right?
The guy that's a monster among men.
Yeah.
But the
he
thing
may not even be there. Right?
True, so. Very true. But the thing is with the Patriots, if you cannot just trade just one first-round pick. You got to trade multiple. Mm-hmm. Because your only first-round pick is not going to be good enough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the offer was even the first time, but you know, there were reports that they almost pulled off a deal with the Giants last year, so I don't even know what that looked like. But, mm-hmm. I mean, Odell Beckham on the Patriots, that'd be nice. Even though Tom Brady isn't really a downfield thrower anymore, Odell Beckham's really good at catching the short intermediate routes and taking him to the house. So.
Like, we need the Patriots to be any better, right?
Mm-hmm.
The classic saying, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, there's also other places where I don't know if he'd do well, like Oakland. I don't know.
They don't have a quarterback. Well, I mean, they have Derek Carr, but he's a serious question mark still to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I could see, mate, like, I know this is, like, I'm just thinking of
The Colts.
Yeah, maybe the Packers.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I don't know where the Giants would consider trading Odell Beckham.
Well, I mean, like the Packers aren't in their division. That's why I'm like thinking that would work. And I think that the Packers could offer a nice little deal to him, which with Devontae Adams on one side and Odell Beckham on the other side, Aaron Rodgers would be just fine. But in the other aspects of things, you can look at, I think if the Giants want to trade with anyone, it's going to be an AFC team just to keep Odell Beckham as far away from them as possible. But I could be wrong on that. But like I said, like you said, New England looks like a destined spot for him. There's also, well, I'm not sure about this, but like, obviously, like teams that can afford a contract of like Odell Beckham size, because it's still a pretty large contract, all things considered. The Jets, obviously, like you said, the Colts are one as well. So honestly, rethinking about the Colts, they're probably the best. They're probably in the best position overall to take him.
And you know, if you're in like a keeper fantasy league, Odell Beckham is a player that you've been keeping. You probably still have to keep him because he's so good, but you're hoping and praying that he gets picked up by a team that has a better offense. Like we said, like a Patriots offense, a Kyle Shanahan offense in San Francisco, like they would find ways to get him the ball. Like there would be no worry about production there.
Oh yeah. Basically if you have a smart minded coach offensively,
and like quarterback that can throw.
Exactly. And with the Patriots, you have Josh McDaniels, who's no joke himself, who's probably going to be the next head coach for them.
It's hard to really envision what other teams, though. The Colts would be great, too. Andrew Luck, Odell Beckham, T.Y. Hilton. Like, that offense would be maybe the best in the NFL, to be honest with you. Marlon Mack, Odell Beckham, T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck. It's hard to get a better. Plus, you got Eric Ebron.
That's a Super Bowl contender.
Oh, yeah. They were a Super Bowl contender without him, so they would absolutely be a Super Bowl contender
without
him.
That would just put him over the top.
Yeah, so if you're in a keeper league and he's on your team, you're praying that he goes somewhere good, because it would be pretty crappy to be a Odell Beckham owner and have another year of Eli Manning as the quarterback to your stud receiver. You got to let OBJ loose, man. Free OBJ, right? Free OBJ.
I mean, if you're a fantasy football owner, like you said. So, yeah, true. If you're the New York Giants, you're like, a fan of the New York Giants, you're like, lock him up.
But then on the flip side, if you're a owner of Saquon Barkley, you're saying, don't trade OBJ. Don't trade OBJ, because you want that guy on your team if you have Barkley, because you want Saquon Barkley to be in a position where defenses have to watch Odell Beckham, because if they get rid of Odell Beckham, it makes Saquon Barkley's job harder. It makes him maybe have less touchdowns next year, maybe less overall yards, who knows. But it doesn't make it easier. And we already know how good that kid is, but still, you want it as easy as possible for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, easier, comfortable, just basically suit to his comfortableness.
I don't really think that there's a place, though, that Odell could go that, like, is already a big team. Like, he's not going to go to the Chiefs. He's not going to go to the Rams. I can't see a lot of teams.
What can the Rams even offer?
Well, I'm just looking at it from a salary cap perspective. Like, you know, Odell Beckham is making a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's why you got to look at. That's why, like, the Jets are one of those teams that could definitely take care of that. And the Colts are obviously.
Do the Giants trade with the Jets? Yes, they're not in the same division, but they are
in New York.
The same.
I get it, but I'm just more brainstorming like who's financially capable. But again, doubt the Jets are a very doubtful team. But again, it's one of those things in where it's just financially logical for the Jets to at least attempt it.
Yeah. So Odell Beckham will be making $16 million this year, 14, and then 14, and then 13, and then 13. So it's actually not that bad of a contract if you look long term. If you think he's going to stay healthy and productive, $13 million in the last 2 years of that contract, when the salary cap is expected to go up by a lot, that actually could be a bargain at that point.
Yeah, but also it's like that's still a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not easy to get
rid of. It's more money than Antonio Brown. It's more money guaranteed than Antonio Brown, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, we should go to a break.
Yes, we should. And when we come back, we'll be talking about other possible areas when it comes down to the free agent market that's coming up, as well as some transition and franchise tags that could benefit your fantasy team. We'll be right on that when we return.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Just finished talking about the Odell Beckham Jr. situation and others along around that situation. Now we're moving on to, well, you have some rankings, don't you?
Yes, Fantasy Pros, they have their...
Great website, by the way.
Their early 2019 fantasy rankings, so let me pull those up here. It's always nice to look and see what, I guess, what's happening right now, because we know this is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know this is going to change big time, right?
Because oh, yeah.
This is what happens, right? Like, we've even seen value change.
Yeah.
In the last,
the free agency hasn't even happened yet, so.
Mm-hmm. So, let's go first. Should we do? I think we should do overall first.
Okay.
Overall.
I do like to wear overalls. So, no, I'm kidding.
Continue. So, the number one overall ranked player as of today for 2019 fantasy football is Saquon Barkley.
Makes sense.
Number two is Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay.
Number three is Todd Gurley.
Okay. Makes sense. He's coming off an injury, though, so that's going to be a big factor.
Or is he? We don't know.
I think he is.
Number four is Christian McCaffrey.
Okay, with Cam Newton, yes. Without Cam Newton, I don't know.
Number five is Melvin Gordon.
I think that's overrated, in my opinion.
Number six is Julio Jones.
That's the first. That's a really high prospect wide receiver.
Number seven is Alvin and the Chipmunks. Alvin Kamara, number seven.
Okay, fair enough.
Number eight, Michael Thomas.
Makes sense.
Number nine, Davante Adams.
Okay.
Number 10, Dalvin Cook. So notable names not in the top 10. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
Odell Beckham.
I would put I put DeAndre Hopkins over Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm. So that's your top 10 overall. Now let's take a look at some of the Let's do position by position. You ready?
Yeah.
Who do you think is the number one ranked quarterback? This is just quarterbacks. I'm not talking about where they're ranked in terms of overall.
Okay, go for it.
Who do you think?
Oh, who do I think? Sorry. Number one for running back.
No, or, quarterback.
Oh, you're saying quarterback? Okay. Number one, probably Mahomes.
Yes. Number two?
Breeze.
No.
Well, Rodgers?
Breeze is not even in the top five.
What?
Rodgers is number two. Who's number three?
I
saved you from saying Breeze for the next six times.
Yeah, so. But that's bull. Gosh. Philip Rivers?
is no. Number three is Andrew Luck.
Okay, that one makes
number
sense.
Number four is
Brady?
Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Step on down. All right, number five. This is maybe a shock to some people.
Oh, God, Matthew Stafford?
No.
If it's a shock, I'm not going to be able to guess it, am I?
Jameis Winston.
No way, no how. Take him out. I refuse.
Remember how good Tampa Bay's quarterbacks were last year. Winston and Fitzpatrick were two of the best fantasy quarterbacks week to week in the NFL. So you add that with Bruce Arians. You also add in the fact that Fitzpatrick will not be in the picture. You can see why Jameis might be a popular pick, right?
Okay, granted.
Even
but
if you question his talents.
I question a lot of things about him.
Number six, Russell Wilson.
Okay.
I actually like him more. I would say top three.
No.
Top four. Yeah, you can't discount the rush.
I'm not taking away anything from Russell Wilson, just his
he'll run the ball more next year.
And that worries me because that will lead more to possible injuries. Well, you know, you just jinxed him. Way to go.
I mean,
you know, when people say that usually that's when it happens.
I know you say like it leads him to more injuries, but it also leads to him to tremendous fantasy value. When you get a quarterback who runs,
but his wide receivers, I know, are the same, but they've been questionable.
Right. But he's always had questionable receivers.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree with you on the top three part. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Number seven, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I agree.
Number eight is Cam Newton. This is obviously assuming he's healthy.
Yes, if
number
he's healthy.
Number nine is Drew Brees.
I would still put Brees ahead of Wilson, in my opinion.
Number 10, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Without Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, I know he still has Juju, but Juju's going to be looked at
number
so.
Number 11, Baker Mayfield.
After his season, makes sense.
Number 12, Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay.
Number 13, Philip Rivers.
That's really low for him because he had a pretty good season last
number
season.
Number 14, Lamar Jackson.
He's just a running back.
Number 15, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he is still like he had a reeling ACL injury that last year really kind of cost him a good bit. So, yeah, that
number
makes sense.
Number 16, Jared Goff.
That's probably about right.
Number 17, Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's coming back from ACL injury. Makes sense.
Number 18, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Okay, it's pretty low, but he's never really a stat. He's not a stat stuffer.
This
so
tells you how good and how you don't need to pick a quarterback high because there's good quarterbacks. They were in 18. This is number 19, Kirk Cousins.
He had a pretty disappointing season last season, so I understand why he dropped.
Decent fantasy season last year. Disappointing in real life, but not for fantasy too much. I thought he was pretty good. His numbers were good.
Yeah, but there was still a lot to be desired.
Yeah, Dak Prescott's number 20.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to rifle these off. Stafford, Darnold, Mariota, Carr, Dalton, Eli, Rosen, Tannehill, Flacco. Now we're just getting into, we have no idea where these players are going to play next year. So
the fact that Eli Manning's above Joe Flacco really says how much that trade was not good for Denver.
Mm-hmm. So that's your quarterback rank. Let's go to running back. All right. So you know who the top seven are because the top seven were in the overall top 10. That again was Barkley, Elliott, Gurley, McCaffrey, Gordon, Kamara, and Dalvin Cook. Now, who do you think are 8, 9, and 10?
Is Nick Chubb on that list?
Nick Chubb is not on that list.
Really?
He has dropped 8 spots in the last week. He
wow.
was number 8, and now he's number 16 because of the Kareem Hunt move.
So is Kareem Hunt above him?
No.
Okay.
They both just screwed each other.
Mark Ingram?
No.
Okay. Let's think here. Marlon Mack?
Actually, no.
Really? Le'Veon Bell wasn't on that top
Le'Veon
list, right?
Bell
he
is
wasn't?
Number 10.
That's what I thought.
8, 9, and 10.
Okay.
So Le'Veon Bell.
Talk about a big drop. David Johnson?
David Johnson is number 14.
Wow. Okay. Matt Breida?
Matt Breida is nowhere to be found.
I just thought he had a pretty solid season, all things considered.
He's not the starting running back. So
this is Jerick McKinnon.
It's number 23.
Oh wow. Okay. Sorry. I just had to think of that.
Aaron Jones is number 8.
Aaron Jones,
the impressive Green Bay running
back. Right. I forgot about him.
James Conner is number 9, and then Le'Veon Bell number 10.
So okay.
They are assuming, by reading into this, they are assuming that Le'Veon will be on a different team, obviously, because I don't think both of them will be in the top 10. Number 11 is Joe Mixon, and then we have Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette's a big question mark because I have no idea where he's going to be even playing next season.
Then we got Chris Carson, then David Johnson.
And Chris Carter, then David Johnson.
Then Sony Michel, then Nick Chubb.
Sony Michel's pretty low, all things considered.
Well, he's a New England running back, right?
I mean, I guess.
Can't be trusted.
You can't be trusted.
That's true.
Well, that's disturbing. I wasn't.
But that doesn't matter in these rankings.
I mean, I guess.
You cannot trust a New England running back. That is just, like, the tale as old as time right there, you know? Like, in fantasy football, it's, you know, draft running backs, a lot of them, and don't draft a New England running back. Like, that's kind of the mantra, right? Because every time you think that one of their running backs is going to be the guy, they just give the ball to 5 different dudes. And then you're like, sweet.
Touché.
Sweet. Rex Burkhead is stealing all the touchdowns.
Rex Burkhead. Not laughing at his name, even though that's pretty funny.
I'm like
laughing at
the show a lot, but the fact is that, look, man, he's not going to catch any passes. That sucks. That really hurts the fantasy value. And he loses goal line carries to Rex Burkhead. Like, ouch. You know? Like, yeah, he has good
Unnecessary,
games.
Isn't it?
He has good games, but it's hard to rely on him to be.
Is that Belichick or is that Josh McDaniels?
Oh, that's both of them. That's just how they are, though.
So
that's
just,
how their receivers
so,
are, too.
So if Josh McDaniels does take over as the new head coach after Belichick is gone, that's still going to be a thing, isn't it?
Probably, because they like to use multiple running backs, so it is frustrating. You know what? Derrick Henry's number 17, and I find that way too high. Way too high.
He had some pretty good games, all
he
things
He had,
considered.
Like, 2 good games. And then he had, like, 12.
And you could do better?
I probably could. Yes, absolutely. Do you remember Derrick Henry last year at all? Like, honestly.
He did help them win a playoff game.
Derrick Henry last year?
The Titans? No. Are you saying this season that just happened?
Do you remember his games last year?
He had multiple games over 200 yards.
Yeah, he did. And he was a free agent when he had those games. Why was he a fantasy football free agent when he had those games?
Well, mainly,
because he was absolutely god-awful.
Nothing but negativity.
I'm speaking the truth. Well, he was a free agent in like 80% of all leagues last year when he had his crazy 200-yard game.
And also, the fact of the matter is, when it comes down to running backs, there's a lot of talent, and just some people just get looked over. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, but for Derrick Henry, look, he had a couple of good games, but I'm not going to fall in love with that because I remember all the bad.
I would honestly consider him, like, if I, after the draft is over, and picking him up as one of my backups when it comes down.
He's going to get picked. He's not going to be a free agent after the draft. I mean, he's ranked 17 on Fantasy Pros. Like, he's not going to be undrafted, but 17? Ooh, he's higher than Philip Lindsay. He's higher than Marlon Mack, Tariq Cohen, Jerick McKinnon, Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, James White, Kerryon Johnson.
James White, he should be ahead because of the fact that James White's not going to get enough carries.
No, James White's a much better fantasy football player than...
Said beware of New England Patriots
running
backs.
Beware of them, absolutely, but he's a better fantasy running back. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, you know, I'm not...
I just think with the number of good games he had previous season, I think he's going to get the ball a lot more based off the very question marks of quarterback as well. So
yeah,
I think he's going to get more opportunities.
I will say if there is a New England running back that's consistent, it is James White because he has a strong hold of the passing game. Like he is Brady, one of Brady's favorite receivers, even though he's a running back, he gets the ball consistently. Yeah, man. Derrick Henry last year had one of the craziest outbursts because he had 238 yards, He also had a game right after that for 170 yards. But he also had games of 20 yards. 50, 50, 20, 50, 20, 30, 20, 58, 40, 30, 40. And then he had a huge outburst twice. So he is a conundrum, right?
You know, I'm still going to have hopes for the guy next season. I really do.
He could be good for them. I don't know what the problem was. It always makes you wonder, right, though, when a guy is very limited in what he can do with the football, and then he kind of breaks out for a couple big games, and then he kind of goes back. You know who that reminds me of? It reminds me of Isaiah Crowell.
Right.
Who's also had a couple of huge games.
I know who that is.
Like he, every once
didn't
in a while,
didn't he have a 200 game himself?
He's had a couple. Every once in a while, that dude has like a monster fantasy football game, and then he goes back to 30 yards a game, 20 yards a game. Derrick Henry obviously has potential. He's a massive human. I don't even know if there's a bigger running back in the history of the game, to be honest with you. You know how big that guy is? He looks so considerably bigger. He's 6'3", 250. That's got to be the biggest running back in the NFL, right? At least height and weight. Like, maybe there's a guy.
Man's a monster.
He's just so big. It's crazy, man. Yeah, that is a... Interesting. Would you say that he should be higher than Philip Lindsay? I mean, even though you like him,
Philip Lindsay is a big question mark still to me because of the fact they got Flacco and
but
who knows
a crappy quarterback last year too.
True,
he still tore it up.
But I think this guy, I just feel like I have a gut feeling that the Broncos are just going to throw the ball deep more with Flacco.
About a Pro Bowler, Philip Lindsay, on a bad football team with a bad offense, and he made the Pro Bowl. Like you gotta say, man, that's pretty.
Wasn't he a reserve though?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He made the Pro Bowl. He's the first.
I always put reserve
drafted rookie to make the Pro Bowl.
I always put reserves as with an asterisk.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Like the fact is that he was one of the best running backs in the league last year. You know, and he was a rookie, and he had a crappy quarterback. So I like Lindsay more than Henry all day. What about Marlon Mack? Marlon Mack is five spots behind Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I disagree with that. Marlon Mack should be top 15.
What about Devontae Freeman? People just forget that Devontae Freeman is actually productive.
Yeah, he's just
not the best, but he's productive.
He's had a struggled season.
Well, he was hurt. Yeah, he got hurt last year.
And I think that's one of the reasons he's dropped so low.
Mark Ingram is also 27th on this list, and he's going to be a starter somewhere.
True. Well, I mean, this is all going to change. Like,
this isn't
going to stay like this.
Yeah. Yep. But we should move on to wide receivers. Who do you think is the top five? You already know that Julio, Michael Thomas, and Devontae Adams are the top three.
And let's see, number four with DeAndre Hopkins?
It is.
He is way too low.
Who's number five?
Odell Beckham?
He is, surprisingly. Who's number six?
I don't know because of the fact we don't know where he's getting up, but Antonio Brown?
He is not.
That's what I thought. Okay, let me think here. So, let's go with, you said T.Y. Hilton already?
I have not mentioned.
Oh, you haven't? So, T.Y. Hilton?
Not that person.
Okay. I know, maybe Juju?
Nope, number six is A.J. Green.
See, I have my doubts with that because he's so injury-prone.
Number seven is?
Did I mention him already or no?
No.
Okay, Brandon Cooks?
No.
Okay.
Similar player, though.
Same team?
No.
Oh, Tyreek Hill.
Yes. Tyreek Hill. Number eight is Juju. Number nine is Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has fallen four spots recently.
I think because we just don't know where his destination will lie.
Number 10 is Mike Evans, which I really like this year. And I know I've said this before.
You do like him. I mean,
Bruce Arians, man.
I saw with his face in it.
Mike Evans could be the Larry Fitzgerald of the Buccaneers next year in that Bruce Arians offense. He's a big body receiver. Just... I'm not saying they're the same player or the same individual, but look, man, Mike Evans is a big target Larry Fitzgerald was a big target for Bruce Arians. Jameis Winston, I think, is going to focus a lot on, and we heard DeSean Jackson wants to leave, possibly Tampa Bay. I think Mike Evans could be on the horizon for some big for big games next year and be a good fantasy player. Amari Cooper is number 11. Are you surprised by that?
A little bit, but I understand why.
Are you surprised by number 12, Stephon Diggs?
Kind of, because I honestly thought he was overrated. Just that one play really put him over the top during that Minneapolis miracle thing. So
he's got really good numbers.
I know he has good numbers, but I just think more along lines of like consistent. You know, it's like he has some breakout games, but sometimes
Thielen is on his team, and Thielen is like the possession receiver, so he takes some targets away. But if we're just talking about top five wide receivers based on pure talent in the NFL, I have to have Diggs in my top five. Absolutely, that guy is just a phenomenal athlete. But yeah, it does hurt him that Thielen's on his team. Thielen's ranked 17th, by the way.
Okay.
But we should go to a break, and when we come back, we should continue our rankings and talk about these early season 2019 fantasy rankings when we return.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Just doing our rankings of positions. I think we have more positions to rank.
We still have wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton was number 13.
Really low.
Number 14 is Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
Keenan Allen is your number 15.
Yeah, okay.
Woods is 16. Thielen, 17. Kenny Galladay.
Man, Thielen, with the consistency he had at the beginning of the season, it's kind of shocking he's that low.
Yeah, Kenny Galladay's 18, 19, 20, and 21 is Corey Davis, Jarvis Landry, and Allen Robinson.
Okay, Allen Robinson, okay. I've always had my doubts about him, but I can see why he's up there. Mm-hmm.
Julian Edelman, 27.
It's
pretty low.
Yeah, but again, he's more of a playoff guy than a regular season guy, if that makes sense.
He's also a PED guy.
Ouch, that's a little harsh.
Hey, I only speak the facts.
Okay, Skip Bayless.
Nope. I only speak the facts. That's not what Skip Bayless does.
Yeah, he says he does do the facts. That's the joke.
He got popped for PEDs. I'm not accusing him. That's just me relaying facts. Travis Kelce is your number one tight end. Who's your number two? Who is the fantasy
person? Wait, Travis Kelce was?
Travis Kelce is the number one tight end by
far. I should be George Kittle, but it's going to be Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is number two. He's also the number 19 overall player. George Kittle is the number 26 overall player and the number three.
I hate the fact that he's behind Zach Ertz. I understand Zach Ertz is great, but he had a much better season than Zach Ertz.
Well, they both had a really good season. I don't know about much better. Did he have a better fantasy season than Zach Ertz? It's pretty close.
Well, he broke the receiving record. He should have.
Well, yeah, but Ertz broke a record in his own right, too. Last year was just a record-breaking season. Zach Ertz set the record for most receptions last year by a lot. 116 receptions for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Well, okay, I'm going to say it like this. Who else was on that receiving corps that wasn't hurt?
Golden Tate, Nelson Aguilar. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good receivers, actually.
I know, but they were nowhere to be seen throughout the season.
Well, what do you mean? Jeffrey? What are you talking about? Jeffrey wasn't anywhere to be seen?
I mean, he didn't have the numbers as you would expect him to have. He usually has much high numbers, but he kind of had some low numbers, all things considered.
Alshon Jeffrey last year had his best season in 4 years.
Really?
65 catches for 845 yards and 6 touchdowns, which is a step up from 57, 52, 54, and then his yardage totals were all under 843. In 2017, though, he did have more touchdowns. He had 9. Last year, he had 6. But, I mean, I don't know. He had a normal year for him.
Yeah. But, of course, then the Eagles themselves weren't being themselves. They were actually pretty disappointing this whole entire season. The whole team was, so.
Yeah. Ertz, though, had 116 receptions.
Ertz is just a beast, yeah.
116 for 1,163 and 8 touchdowns.
I just think what Kittle did was more impressive based off he had a worse team around him.
That may be true, yeah. But in terms of, like, who had the better season, Kittle had 88 receptions, so he was about 30 receptions less last year, but he had more yards. He had 1,300 yards, so he had about 200 more yards. He also scored less touchdowns. So in fantasy football, it looks like Ertz beat him slightly, I think. It's close because the yardage difference. But, yeah, they're both really – there is a drop-off, though. That top three is really nice.
Well, I'm assuming Eric Ebron's number 4.
He is not.
Really? That's actually kind of shocking. He had 11 touchdowns.
Yeah, let me go back to my list here.
What? WTF?
Mm-hmm. No, it was O.J. Howard is number 4.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with that one.
Again, it's the Bruce Arians effect, man. Like, his offenses do really well, you know? Like, they produce a lot of fantasy value, so... O.J. Howard, he's a potential breakout. Ebron is number 6, by the way. Hunter Henry is number 5.
Yeah, once again, I'm good at the disagree.
Evan Engram is number 7. I actually think Evan Engram might be higher. But, again, it's that quarterback situation.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. But I think with Eric Graham, with the amount of touchdowns he had, I think he should have been number 4. That's just my personal opinion.
David Njoku could be higher, too. He's number 8. Rob Gronkowski is number 9 right now.
He's not going to be on that list because he's retiring. That's just how I see it.
You also forget about something with Indianapolis when you talk about Ebron. It's Jack Doyle.
Doyle?
Jack Doyle will definitely take away targets from Ebron like he did last year when he was healthy. He got hurt, and then Ebron went back
to
being
the guy. So that's why he dropped in theory. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because Andrew Luck likes to spread it around the tight ends a little bit. So that
he likes to spread around with everybody. He's a very unselfish quarterback.
Yeah, he's a smart player, and he goes through his projections.
He doesn't really have a favorite.
Well, T.Y. killed
him. Well, yeah, but like, it's not like he ignored everybody else to go for him, you know? It's like one of those things in where he looks for everybody, but he always trusts T.Y. Hilton when he throws it.
Mm-hmm.
So just that's how that works.
Yeah, so that's where we're at with the tight ends.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think that's our show for today, man. And then we'll be back with our next show. We'll talk about more early season rankings. There's going to be some moving and shaking here in the NFL in the next week or so, and it will affect fantasy value, but we will see you next time.
Yes, have a good day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.